Was that a
Brrr.
T-Rex or did you just fart?
Hello and welcome to Just Some Guardians episode 8. We are back for a Destiny conversation, a very large one, the biggest one in a while. First of 2018, we have our first This Week at Bungie and a blog post for the development process and what's to come. Joining me to discuss that tonight is my ever sort of wonderful-ish sometimes co-host, Nicarus. Hello, my friend.
I, for some reason, thought you were going to say that I was effervescent, and I was disappointed.
I thought we went over that last week.
I still haven't looked that word up. I'm sorry.
I'm going to keep plugging it. Alka-Seltzer is effervescent.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
I'm going to keep saying that until he does it, just so everyone knows.
Okay,
deal. Calls you effervescent.
Next week, maybe. The week after that, definitely not.
It sounds like some kind of bottled water. Effervescent.
Sounds too much like evanescence, but, you know, whatever. This other voice, one you recognize now that is turned into our regular man. I don't know. Is that the word? Is that
regular
the word we
woman?
Use? I don't know.
That's what you use. I know you wouldn't use woman.
Boy.
I mean, the last time I checked, I had a penis.
Well, you know, that could mean anything anymore, right? This other voice is the man that identifies as an Apache helicopter, Russell! That's just going to be your input, though. What do you think of that? Okay, good. Moving on.
Does that mean I have to communicate in sound effects for the rest of the night?
Yes. We're going to have to put together a soundboard of just Apache noises for you.
Bomber 1 to Bomber 2, opening bay doors now. Fire away.
What does that even mean?
Well, you see, kids, when one Apache attack helicopter falls in love with another Apache attack helicopter, the rotors spin very fast.
Ooh, yeah. This is leading us into dirty talk. What are you doing here? for those younger in the audience, please close your ears now, unless your
Just
parents have had this talk with you already. Also, the Easter
Mommy.
Bunny's fake. So,
Mommy,
no, he isn't.
Right.
He came and visited me last night.
Mommy, what are bay doors and why do they open?
Well, you see, it reminds me of that.
Brittany,
have you ever heard that really, really dirty joke about the little kid who's sleeping with his parents?
Oh, God.
Not sleeping,
no.
As in, like,
wow.
Sex.
Yeah,
sleeping
maybe you should
sleeping.
Rephrase that.
I tried to be more specific. It's a really dirty joke. I probably shouldn't repeat it on a family-friendly podcast.
Yeah, probably not. Nah, you know what? Just because you want to do it, let's not do it. Moving on.
Okay.
So, a couple updates for the podcast. We have a couple listeners in India we just discovered. So, hey, you guys or gals, whoever you are, that's different and exciting.
What?
Yep.
Is it politically correct to call them Indians? Like, that's a thing, right?
Yes.
Yeah, because they're from India.
Well, I was just making sure. I mean, you can't call Native Americans Indians anymore.
Well, because they're not actually Indians. Like... They were called Indians because they thought they were in India when they got here, but, like...
I still play Cowboys and Indians with myself in my underwear, though.
Wait, you play
This is
yourself?
A
what?
Stick-up! Oh, man. Stagecoach humor. You gotta love it. So, man...
Literally.
So, Destiny 2... is a wonderful game that has been having some slight issues lately with many of the community. And we've all been waiting with bated breath for this week's conversation from Bungie for the future.
I will say one of the only reasons we've waited with bated breath, get it, waited with bated, is because they hyped it up. They hyped it up.
I think this we hyped on it them. Up. Hyped up the conversation or hyped up Destiny? Which one are you talking about right now?
Well, we hyped Destiny. They hyped the conversation. They were like, promises will be delivered on, and the oceans shall recede, and the sun will rise tomorrow. I feel like they over hyped and under delivered, but we'll get on that.
I feel like the community overhyped it for me, but. All right, Annie, shut up. God, you redheaded little. Tomorrow. Thank you for joining us for Just Some Guardians karaoke, please.
Broadway edition.
Broadway edition. The circle of life. So, I know pre-show there. Pre-show, Russ, you were telling me that this right now you logged into Destiny 2 for the first time in a while.
Yeah, a few weeks.
Yeah.
It's probably been. It's been at least. I haven't logged in since the 19th, so before the dawning.
Dang. Have you been able to look at this?
And you didn't miss much.
Yeah, I didn't.
So, joining me tonight is my salty co-host. No, I'm just kidding.
Salty caramel?
Salty
caramel.
Oh, it's that is the best. Good. Oh. So, have you been able to look at the stuff that came out today, Russ, since we're diving into it? Or is this all going to be brand new to you?
This is all brand new to me.
Fantastic. I like
the
that.
Shining baby, red-cheeked boy.
Aww.
Baby star. Just go with it,
Nick. Cast it into the fire. Destroy it. Okay. So I've been still playing. I've been logging in and doing heroic strikes and stuff with like Jake and Nick, you know. But I haven't really dove in and done all my milestones in probably 3 weeks or so. And
you
this week
That's
I finally
really
did
need that update. Is the ability that you can only have 3 people on a fire team for heroic strikes.
Hopefully that's coming with one of the things they talked about, but we'll see. But so this week I actually finally, I don't know, the urge hit me. I guess the little break helped, and I came in and destroyed all my milestones in one day and ripped through it and had a really good time. But
yeah, well,
once the milestones were over,
Jake and I a while too.
That's true, exactly. But once the milestones were over, I was like, well, all right, that was fun, and close game. So, well, let's go ahead and this week at Bungie is just telling us that the thing that has a name is coming. Oh my god, the faction rally. That thing,
they're
that's
updating,
a real deal.
They're
yeah.
updating
You're right,
the faction rally and the Iron Banner so that everyone can do it.
So, the faction rally is finally coming for Season 2. That's starting Tuesday. That's exciting that that's finally Ooh. Happening. Yes.
I don't know.
So, we'll see how that goes.
Doesn't really excite me too much.
Yeah, I remember we were talking about that. It is kind of, you know, when that's, you know, you do your milestones and the only thing really that's like, let's do it, is just grinding out for faction rally, you know. I hear you.
I do love the Iron Banner, though, so I am excited about that.
For sure.
I have to remind myself that in Destiny 1, I just played an endless amount of heroic strikes because it was fun.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And I've been having and like I was saying earlier, you know, for the last few weeks, I haven't been doing all the milestones and raiding and such, but I have been just diving in and doing heroic strikes because with friends, that's just still super fun. Because, you know, the reason we're still here doing a podcast is because Destiny 2 is just a fun game to run around and shoot and scoot with your friends. So the reason we're here pretending that we know anything and have listeners is because we need attention and we crave it because our parents don't give it to us.
Well, I know that's truth on my end. I don't know about the rest of you guys.
My mom hasn't talked to me since 1993.
Whatever. I saw her at church when I was up there visiting.
Yeah, she talks to you.
Actually, you know what? I don't think I talked to your mom. I talked to your dad.
Well, you're a horrible person. Anyway.
I know. I feel bad now.
So really,
you
nothing
are
really...
son of a bitch.
Nothing to talk about in the TWAB. It's just letting us know that that's coming up this week. And they did announce earlier that, you know, the TWAB is just for the next 7 days. And the development update's going to be for the upcoming months. So let's dive
upcoming
in.
Year, really.
Yeah, basically.
That is such a dirty acronym, TWAB.
There's also FWAB.
It's that's not a real... Listen, if you're going to really call bad. It... If you're going to call it FWAB, just because there's the two letters in the first one, you might as well call it... Good Lord. If you're going to put two letters at the first word, you got to bring in the two letters of every word. Like, why stop there?
Leave no word behind.
Exactly. It's just not worth it. So, I think the best way to do this, especially since Russ hasn't heard it, and it's something to talk about, and we can kill time with it, because that's why we're here. I'm just going to go through this thing. I'm not going to read word for word, but we're going to hit each bullet point instead of grand summarizing, because I cannot summarize save my life, because I'm not professional. So here we go.
I am. I'm a professional.
I think it is important. I'm just going to read this for Russ, just the message from Chris Barrett here. See, he can take it however he wants. So Chris Barrett is a guy, and he works at some sort of company that makes some sort of product that some people sort of buy.
Hmm. Cut you. Who is he? What's
That's
his name?
Does.
He is. He's someone. What is he? He's not the. God, I know who he is, but I can't remember what his exact title is. Is he the game director, or is he
the game director?
I think he's the game director.
He might be the creative director at Bungie. I can't remember.
I follow everything he says, but I don't pay attention to what on earth his actual title is. Hello, we're a Destiny podcast, and we're professional. Here we go. Hey, everyone. At the end of last year, I made a promise that I would update you on our plans for Destiny 2. The team has been hard at work, and we're ready to share where we are headed. We used to wait to talk about game updates until we were certain we could meet our deadlines to avoid letting players down if we changed our plans. They talked about that in their podcast. No longer. We're just... Oh, I almost just said we're just not listening. That's bad. We're not just listening. That. We are doing. Please keep in mind that the further out we make promises, the more they are subject to change. With that caveat, here we are plans. So... the first big point is that they're changing, we already knew this stuff, they're changing how basically expansions are paid content and seasons are going to be free content. So you don't have the whole, we didn't buy the DLC, why can't we play this, blah, 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 blah. So expansions, content that is purchased, that includes new campaigns and strikes, new destination rewards, new raid lair or raids. Crucible maps, new legendaries, and exotic gear. Now, what you get for seasons, which again, you can have the base game of D2, you don't even need Curse of Osiris or future DLCs, gives you access to Iron Banner, faction rallies, seasonal reputation rewards, endgame playlists, such as like Mayhem, Heroic Strikes, etc., seasonal events, and all like sandbox updates and such. And then the Eververse, electively purchased or earned. Customization items, boons, and emotes. Here we go. Thoughts there?
That was the update that everybody was talking about?
No, that was the first
not
part.
Done. It's not
no.
done.
Oh, we're like, oh, we're, that's scratching the surface. That's just the whole explaining of how expansions and not paying for DLC and stuff's going to work from now on. So if you really enjoy playing Destiny but don't want to buy any DLCs, I don't understand that, but you can do
you
all
can
the seasonal stuff,
like all the events,
you know. So I guess if you know down the road you're like, maybe I want to pick this up and see what they've changed in like a year from now, you can at least go in and do Iron Banner and strikes and stuff, and maybe that'll get your itch going and you'll be able to go further from there. I think that's a smart move.
I mean, it makes sense to me. I mean, especially from a company standpoint where you're having to play to a lot of different people. Some people have just picked up Destiny 2, and for whatever reason, they don't purchase the DLC. Or maybe they're just waiting until all the DLC's out, and then they just play it through. Whatever. You know, but you still want them to be able to access the content, because I think that barring them from some of the, barring them from the events that you should be able to play as part of the base game that you purchase, you know, I think that that's just a recipe for discontent. So
For sure. Yeah.
removing those parts of
Conversely.
it that would not allow you to do it makes sense.
What were you going to say there, Nick?
Conversely, I think like as far as events that were included in the base game, like when you have that like umbrella there, I do not believe that prestige activities or Nightfall should be included there.
In the expansion part or the season part?
The season part.
Okay.
Like I vehemently disagree with the fact that they changed it so that the Nightfall doesn't require the latest content. Because it's like, okay, well, wait a second. Couldn't I go back and then do the Nightfall and just appear better than I actually am? Because
It's way
just, I'm
lower than
just.
it should be. Yeah.
Exactly.
It's not
So.
a prestige event because it's barred at everyone that doesn't, that's 5 levels lower than us and
Right. Well, and I
30
get that
power
there's
level.
Nightfall and Prestige Nightfall, but I'm sorry, I think the Nightfall itself should require the latest content because you're the max level, you have the most, like you have the largest loot pool available to you, and the Prestige Nightfall should be there to be prestigious to people. Like it should be exactly what it is, the
Exactly.
Nightfall, but prestigious.
But I mean, then you're keeping people who paid $60 for a game from being able to access content that they did have access
But
to before the DLCs came out. You know what I mean?
I correct. I mean, I get that, but they know they're going into an ongoing, ever-developing universe.
And it
Like
was
they
sold
know
that
that
way.
going in.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
So
but
I think
it's
if
not
they were
always
to say,
affordable to be able to purchase the DLC. You know what I mean?
right, but the Nightfall Strike isn't a new strike. It's not a new location with entirely new mechanics. It's
No.
just harder. So I
Really,
think
what they
if
should do is just. There's so many games that do this. Like, when the new expansion comes out, we go up 5 levels or whatever, we go up power level, and then we have whatever that Curse of Osiris Nightfalls. If you're that level, you do the Curse of Osiris Nightfall. If you don't own Curse of Osiris, you do the Destiny 2 Nightfall playlist, and that's the one that's set at whatever level the base game is. And then the other playlist is for those that have bought it, and that includes the new maps and maybe, you know, the new loot pool, and it's set at a higher bar. It's not that hard to do. You have the same, you're
Yeah.
already updating. Well, no, they're already just setting the power level up to match you, like they did at the beginning of season 2. They just moved everything up, and then within a day, they just moved everything back down. Like, all they have to do is just copy paste, slap a new name on it, and call it a day. And
Well,
that's the best way to do it.
well,
That's
that's.
not the way that it's done, though. You can't just copy and paste, slap a new name on it. I mean, you're talking hosting people on different servers in those specific instances and things like
I think
that do make programming a lot more complicated.
where he's going with it is to some
But that
degree
does
the
make sense.
technology. Well, the technology already exists to some degree because they have a Curse of
Right.
Osiris Crucible playlist and they
Yep.
have a
That's the
normal
thing. They
Crucible
already have
playlist.
it, and it took them, and I'm
Oh,
what the
yeah.
reason I'm saying that also is because they already showed they can just up or lower the difficulty in a day. Like, Curse of Osiris launched, the Nightfall was set at a bar for Curse of Osiris level content with your actual level and your power level. And then everyone complained, and within a day, they just boom, switched it back down to where it was before. Just like that. Like, there's, you can't tell me
Well,
that they
that's
can't
because they
just.
probably.
It's a different knob, but same engine,
Yeah, but it's the
perhaps.
same. Well, look at, like.
Well, what
Go
they would have
ahead.
done is they probably would have just reloaded back to the. They would have taken the update off. So what they did is they would take the whole system down, then bring it all back up. At the backup before the update went.
Don't know. I think the best,
But
just to make it separate. I think that's the best way. Maybe it's not as easy as I make it sound, but I think that's the best way to do it in the future. Instead of going, Well, I guess because it's killed the Nightfall for me. Like anytime, like someone's like, "Let's do the Nightfall." I'm like, "But why?"
Yeah.
Why? Like, why am I putting myself? Because the Nightfall is like time limit, and they're changing that. But like the time limit thing and stuff, like that's stress level that I don't enjoy the Nightfall. I don't enjoy that. But and so then to do it, and then to do it without it actually being for me is like, why?
I was going to say, let's sound off one at a time. Let's go, because we're on the topic of Nightfall. So, I feel like we're making points, and then like counterpoints or additions to the points aren't being voiced because we're moving so quickly, and I want to make sure everyone's heard.
Well,
so
I don't care about your opinion, so no, I'm just kidding. Yeah, what's up, bud?
Nightfalls. How do you feel? What's your take on the Nightfall?
I like the idea. I like having that extra thing to go for, but for me personally, and they're switching it, and I'm cool with how they're, and we'll talk about how they're switching it next. But like, well, I just maybe
we should mention it now.
Yeah, I'll go ahead and do that. So they're changing it. So they're taking out the actual time restraint, and then so they're adding in the strike points, basically your like strike scoring. Yeah, and for what you do, and then I'd assume it's going to be based off your score of how well stuff happens and get through, and it'll still be, you know, time based will be whether you basically meet the criteria to pass or not. So I'm excited for. That will change my stance of the Nightfall, but as it is, that's just not something me personally is a playstyle I enjoy.
So you didn't like so I understand, you didn't like the pressure of completing it in under a time limit.
Correct. That just wasn't
you
like
preferred. And I played the D1 with you extensively, and I know you and I relished the brutal challenge that was the Nightfall in D1. Mm-hmm. So you preferred the challenge of just flat, like no fucks given, pardon my language, difficulty. Rather than difficulty being imposed by a time limit.
I liked it being, okay, this section's going to be insanely hard. Let's sit here, figure out a way to do it, work together, change our weapons up. All right, let's go through and plow through the best we can. Instead of going, oh my God, just run through, throw a grenade, shoot a time spot. Let's go, go, go. Dear God, we're all dead. What's going to happen? You know.
And with that model on it, imagine the Prestige Nightfall that locks your weapon loadout when you zone in. So mm-hmm. It's like...
And that's exactly why I've never done it. So that's where I am.
But the new change with the scoring is attractive to you.
Because it's exactly what it was basically in D1 now, and I really enjoyed that. And not just because it was in D1, I just really like that playstyle. So that's where I am. Yeah.
It makes me remember playing through Gears of War with the scores.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So anyway, Russ, thoughts, Nightfall.
I mean, you know, I was mostly playing devil's advocate with Brett, saying it's not as easy. I mean, it's not as easy as all that. But honestly, I mean, I think that that's the best solution, is being able to kind of retro. You know, you have Nightfalls. You have a Nightfall that's for the people who are current on the DLC. You have the Nightfall that's for the people who aren't current on the DLC, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, that does make a lot of sense. I just don't think it's easy, is the point that I was trying to make. But I mean, you know, I'm not a big fan of the time limits either. I would much prefer to play through something difficult, but that doesn't require a time limit, because I feel like time limits sometimes make it a little artificial.
No, that's actually a really good description. It seems harder just because you're timed. Yeah, no, that's a really good way of putting it.
Now, if I can jump in.
Definitely.
No, you have to wait your turn like you made me wait mine.
Oh, are you? I thought you were done. I'm sorry.
I'm just kidding. I'm just teasing you, Nick.
So,
go ahead.
As far as Nightfall is concerned, like, I really enjoyed the difficulty in Destiny 1 while at the same time wanting to rip the skin off of my face because I was so frustrated by it. It's an interesting image. Wow. All right. Anyway.
It'd be a good look for you.
I think. Thank you. A natural blush, you know. That's some top tier contouring right there.
Right.
All right, but anyway, I think the different. Since D2 launched the Nightfalls, we've seen a few different versions of the time, like how you gain time. There's been like the rings that you jump through and the anomalies that you shoot and killing enemies. And then there was even one where there's just a set 20-minute time limit. The most boring and the one that I think defeats the purpose is the set time limit.
Which is funny because that's the one I enjoy the most.
Now, so I enjoyed feeling like, oh my god, we have to go. But at the same time, I agree with you guys that it feels, it has a degree of like artificiality.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and I think they're moving in the right direction here, if you're scoring it, and you also, I don't know if they're going to do this, Bungie, if you just so happen to listen to our podunk little like boondock podcast, like listen, because I don't want them to only like keep record of our score, but I would like them to keep record of our time.
I'm sure that'll be part of it too.
Because if you feel rushed, not because you're going to fail the Nightfall, but because, guys, we did this in 25 minutes last week, we got to do it in 24 this week, you know? Mm-hmm. If you're rushing, like, time attack, like, rushing against yourself, then I think that's beautiful, and that's not artificial, because we're not just rushing against some arbitrary clock. You know, maybe they go the route of World of Warcraft challenge mode dungeons, and they have for Mythic Plus now, and they have like, okay, well, if you complete it in under 18 minutes, you get a gold medal. Don't you want a gold medal? Don't you? You know, but at the same time, have the rest of like the loot. You're going to get the loot regardless. Maybe you'll get an emblem for doing it, you know, in 18 minutes, or maybe you'll get an emblem for being the fastest in your clan, or so I think they're moving in the absolute right direction with that, combining scoring and timing along with like cycling modifiers. That's the right direction.
It's, well, because if you remember,
absolutely the right direction
in the Nightfall in D1 when it was point based, it actually did have it was like a background time gate. It wasn't a you'll fail by this, but it was a if you meet this point of the Nightfall by this time limit, you got bonus points.
Are you
so
certain?
Time was part of it, yeah, because that was a part of the point system was meeting that criteria.
I don't remember that being part of the Nightfall, though. I remember that being the Siva Crisis Strike playlist.
Maybe you're right. That could be.
Because I honestly don't know if we ever went back to the Nightfall after that time we got Saber 2.
You're not wrong.
I really don't know.
The best thing to show, and I was just thinking about this while you guys were talking, about how it feels artificial with the time limit, is the one I enjoy the most is when the time limit's set, and then your abilities recharge super fast, right? So that is the most, like, the easiest version of the Nightfall. And I think that totally shows how artificial it is. Is the only reason it's not a difficult event, it's because you're not racing a clock. The enemies are the same strength. You're just plowing through everything without looking at a clock and trying to find rings or anomalies to shoot. You're just running and gunning and throwing grenades. Like, it's just easy without a time restraint, you know? Yeah. So I hope with the point system, they also just make it, like, just ouch.
What if they were to introduce... What if they were introduced like a time attack mode and the point based system? Maybe they would be separate. What if there was a time attack strike playlist or a time attack Nightfall?
Oh, I'm fine with that.
Like,
yeah,
fastest man in the West wins. You know.
Well, that'd that's be the so thing. You I know, think... like I don't enjoy the actual time thing, but I'm sure there's people that absolutely love it, so I would hate to have what I want without allowing them to play what they want to play. So absolutely, if you're going to change something, the best way to do it is just
add a playlist that, you know, has the different versions, because I want everyone to be able to play what they want. I don't want to just change the whole game based on me, because I'm not the only person playing, you know?
Why not?
Well, because
I really do.
I've got no good reason. You're right. They should change the whole game for me.
You're the most important person playing, Brett.
You. Aw.
I really think they're onto something with the time. Like, kudos to them for trying something different.
Oh, definitely.
Not tacking on, you know, something that's half-baked. Like, they had modifiers, and public reaction led them to cut out, really, the other modifiers and stick us with the same, you know, torrent for rapid cooldown abilities, and the 0 hour is the set time limit. Mm-hmm. That's what we've had for, like, the last 2 months.
Yep.
So, like I guess, good for them for trying.
Well, and the big thing with the separate playlist too, between, and this is going back to having a separate one for non-DLC and people that have Curse of Osiris, is the fact that, was that last week that it was going to be the Mercury Strike, and then halfway through they changed it because people that didn't earn Curse of Osiris couldn't play it. And that was the one I was most excited to do as a Nightfall.
Yeah,
you know, and that was super disappointing, because I don't like the Nightfall, but I was actually really excited to do it that week because it was that strike, and then suddenly it wasn't.
Right. Well, but I remember messaging our Just Some Guardians Facebook, being all excited, like, "Oh my God, it's the past Mercury Strike!"
Well, and you know, when they were hyping the new DLC, they were talking about how they had specifically designed pieces of the story that they were going to use in the strikes. They were gonna
exactly.
Be strikes. And so that, yeah. And my biggest concern with them not introducing DLC into the Nightfalls is Nightfalls are going to get really stale if you don't have any new content added every once in a while.
Exactly.
Because you're going to just be doing the same things over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
There's only a few that pop up.
Well, and this is a point someone had made on Twitter that I hadn't wrapped my, like, not once I got that mindset, I was like, well, damn. That's a good point. It makes me kind of mad. Like, at first, I was all on board with everyone going, well, I didn't buy Curse of Osiris, so I shouldn't. Why can't I do this? And at first, I was like, no, that makes sense. It just came out. We'll let them get it, blah, 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 blah. Not thinking about the fact that actually them catering to the people that don't own the DLC is actually taking content away from myself who paid for the DLC. Like, that's a effed up backwards mindset. Like, I understand making everyone happy, trying to, but when you do that by punishing the people that actually paid, you're like, you're kind of catering to the wrong crowd here.
When you texted that to me, I thought to myself, welcome to the conversation.
Right? I was like, well, damn. I'm too nice. And that was my fault.
Yeah. Because it's like, I firmly stand by the idea that, okay, the Nightfall is just another strike. You still have access to those strikes. You just can't do it on the same difficulty anymore. Sorry.
Well, and that's, just do it, and this is the last point, and we'll move on from Nightfall. But even if they can't do a separate playlist, like what they did with Trials of the Nine is everyone has access to Trials of the Nine, but if it's a weekend where it's an Curse of Osiris map, people that own Curse of Osiris just can't do Trials that weekend. So why not just do that with a Nightfall? Where if it's a Curse of Osiris Nightfall week, just that's the one week you can't do it. You know, I think that's a fine way to do it. But
well, all right,
let's move on.
A lot more people are doing the Strikes than are doing the Trials of the Nine. Because Trials of the Nine is punishing.
Trials of the Nine is huge. That's the big thing people play, but just not us because we suck at it. But so now, all right. After that very long rant, the next point of the list is the Eververse. Hey, look at that.
Yeah, let's. Do you want to read what they had to say? Like they're striking.
No, I'm going to read this.
Shocking admission.
We recognize the scales are tipped too far towards tests at the moment, and Eververse was never intended to be a substitute for end-game content rewards. So we'll be making 3 changes for upcoming seasons. That's not changing this time, just so you know, everyone knows. That's for upcoming seasons.
We're already in the middle of Season 2, so I'd be kind of pissed if they changed it for Season 2.
We're shifting the balance of new content in favor of activity rewards over bright engrams. What? This includes adding ghost sparrows and ships, which are currently only in bright engrams, to achievement reward pools. That wording has me... I'm confused if that means...
I'm assuming they mean activity reward pools.
I'm assuming... Because immediately I go to, like, achievements and trophies and go, oh, I only get the sparrow if I earn this trophy, you know.
Right.
But that, I'm sure they definitely mean... along with,
yeah.
I'm sure they definitely mean, like, these ships and sparrows and stuff are in this... Maybe not regular, you know, achievement pools. So I would assume that's, like... Nightfall and Heroic Strikes or the Raid and stuff will now have ships, sparrows, and ghost shells, which I've been wanting since the beginning of the game. What? Yeah. So that's huge. Oh, it only took them a season and a half. We'll provide a gameplay path to earn bright engrams and all contained rewards, including event engrams. That's a huge one for that second part, that they're going to, basically what we talked about last time, hopefully in that same regard, where, like, Overwatch does it, where during the holiday you are earning holiday engrams.
They talk about that a little later. You actually double dip. During holidays, you are going to get, like, say, for example, Crimson Days,
mm-hmm.
which is coming up. It's like their Valentine's Day. You will, when you level up, you will get a Crimson Day engram and an Illuminated engram.
Oh, I didn't read that part, I guess. That's awesome.
You will get both. You will double dip.
That's cool.
Right? That's so cool. I'm actually, like... really happy
that's,
about
that's it. Really big, yeah. So they're gonna, in the future, they're moving stuff that we didn't want in the Eververse out of the Eververse and then increasing it so that everything you want, you can get more of. Okay, I'm cool with that. That sounds
including
good.
Including Tootsie Pops.
We'll give players more direct purchase options and make adjustments to Bright Engrams to allow players to get the items they want more often. I would assume that basically that to purchase. Me reads... Well, when they say we'll give players more direct purchase options, I think that means you can actually buy the dust instead of just buying silver and then hoping you get dust out of loot boxes. So you'll actually be able to just sit there and buy bright dust so that you can then choose exactly what you want out of the pool.
Mm-hmm.
Would be my guess from how that's worded.
They might, again, from how that's worded, they might scrap silver and go with bright dust, or they'll just translate all the silver, all the bright dust into silver.
That could be. Yeah, so that's huge. That's the number one thing I've heard people say is, if I could just buy bright dust, I would buy bright dust, and then I could look at the list and choose exactly what I want instead of buying engrams and crossing my fingers that I'll get bright dust, or that I'll get the thing I want. So that's big. So I liked they worded it very well. Where they came across without actually saying, we done effed up, I'm sorry, guys.
Yeah. It's
very, very well worded. But so that's huge. I'm excited for that. Those are changes, exactly things we've talked about on the show that they're changing. So that's exciting.
And they're even doing it better than we thought. Because instead of them going the Overwatch route where you all of your loot boxes or holiday loot boxes, you get a normal one and a holiday loot box.
Yeah, that's huge. That's exciting.
So, and on the subject, so I guess we don't end up having the same conversation a couple times, later down the list they say that for holiday engrams, they will be, I forget how they worded, they're severely weighted toward, I think is the term they use, towards giving you an item from the event that you don't have.
Very strongly weighted to new rewards when decrypted.
Very strong. Got it.
So, like a kind of a understanding what you've gotten and making sure that you don't get the same thing.
Right.
Right. And, you know, and I know Paragon, or the Overwatch is hailed as like the paragon of the loot box system, so I will say even Overwatch effed that one up at first.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like they just recently changed that. It's hard. Like within the last several months, changed that. Wasn't it the Summer Games event that they changed it?
Mm-hmm. This is another big point here. So this is going to be during the Crimson Days, beginning February 13th is when that starts, okay? So... you will get Crimson Day rewards for completing the Nightfall, raids, your Crimson Day milestones, etc. And those will include legendary emotes, weapon skins, exotic sparrows for doing other things than just the whatever milestone it gives you.
I'm excited about that because the new sweet business weapon skin is Crimson Days.
Oh, that's cool.
Ooh.
So there you go. You're getting double rewarded and rewarded for more activities and the ability to buy directly what you want. That's huge.
Well, I mean, good things. Go ahead, bud. If you're going to buy something, you should definitely be able to buy what you want instead of buying an engram and then having to, you know, cross your fingers.
Oh, for sure.
That's just, I mean, I guess it's a way of trying to make it fair, but at the same time, that's just a bad.
Well, and it's a good way of going around the whole, like, you know, outside of the U.S. right now, there's a lot of countries that have been hitting the, you know, loot box system hard as being gambling, and so it's a good way of getting around that early.
No, we even have the senator, one of the senators of Hawaii.
Yes.
He's like taking it to the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
Because he's a gamer. Which I actually think is kind of cool.
That's right? Awesome. Bless you, Hawaii. So that's cool.
Because he didn't get what he wanted out of the loot box.
So I do think, in all honesty, while we're on the subject, that I know we're going to talk about a certain something a little later. So I keep mentioning the big O. But I think Overwatch could learn a little bit from purchasing what you want. Mm-hmm. If they would let me purchase gold.
Oh my god! Than loot boxes. Yeah, I would do that. Yeah. I would do that instantly.
I'd have a legendary skin buying Field Day.
Like, I would accidentally drop way too much money easily if they did that. But as it is, I'm like, nope. Yeah. I'm poor. That's not worth my time.
Great.
If I could just look at the game and go, oh, I want the Saint 14 ship. Oh, it's $3. Boom. It's mine now.
Still to this day, I'd pay $20. Let me have a pike instead of a sparrow. Done. Done. I've been saying that since Destiny 1.
You've been saying it's like the first week of Destiny 1. The first time we got on a pike in the campaign, you were like, I want one of these. Now. Or just put a gun on our sparrow. That's all we want.
No, I want a pike.
Yes.
I want to be like Ikora, and I want to wield a shotgun while I'm riding my sparrow.
Dude,
I want to be like Ikora and hover in the air and shoot lasers.
Dude, straight drive-by. Boom. So on top of that, they're going to be messing with XP rates to adjust how you earn XP and all that stuff so you can get engrams faster. Look at that. Another positive towards that.
One thing a few people, including myself, are forgetting is when they realized the XP throttling was happening in the system, they shut down all XP modifiers. So, your XP gains have been way slower. And they said that. They're like,
yeah,
we realize they're going to be slower, but we would rather the game be accurate than not.
Exactly.
So everything has been way slower than they intended.
So basically they're going in and fixing all those individual systems and then implementing them correctly now is what it reads like to me.
Right. Right.
So. Sounds good. All right, here's some features upcoming. So this is stuff that they said, again, like earlier, they said the further out, the more likely this to change, but this is an update coming at the end of this month, so I'd assume most of this is going to be pretty precise. So in the January 30 update, we are receiving Masterwork Armor.
What?
Yes. Ooh. I'm excited for
this
that.
This made me freak out a little bit.
Mm-hmm. We are expanding the Masterwork system to include armor. Masterwork armor provide can't this. And this is just a. This is a word in the English language. Good Lord, Brett. Lisa, will you slap me in the face? Good God.
Masterwork armor reduces the amount of damage you take while your super is active.
That's just a. What all of them will get. No, that's one of the modifiers you can get. If you look at the picture, it's in the slot that you can redo, that you can re-roll.
I'm so down for that.
So in the picture, it says Masterwork Armor. This armor reduces incoming damage while your super is active, and that's in the slot showing that there's a couple other ones you can use your cores to then re-roll that perk. So I think that's just going to be one of the perks, according to the picture. It's confusing because the picture says one thing and what the list says is something different.
Hmm. I read it like, and I only read the mobile version, so you have more insight than I do. But my roll an insight check.
Hey, that's my job. I'm the DM.
Wait a second.
No, so I
You rolled a
read
one and
that.
ended the call. Oh, God. Okay.
No, I read that the same as when they said, "Oh, well, Master Weapons are going to allow you to get orbs on multi kills," because that's the default. All of them have that. That's how I
Okay.
read it.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing is it reads that, but the picture's different, and that's why I'm confused. That's the point I'm making.
Gotcha. Gotcha. And then I know that this is the part I'm super excited about because, Brett, you can attest to this when it comes to video game characters. I'm super vain. I
Yep.
want to look good. You can re-roll the stats on your armor through the Masterwork system. So you can have any armor set you want be, recovery focused because we all know recovery is a god stat
Hunters,
and the rest
here
don't
you
matter.
go. Those mobility armors you don't want, you can now have other stats.
Oh gosh, thank goodness.
Jeez,
You're
I
not
hate
stuck
that.
wearing the Mercury set.
Right. That's huge. Just, I'm excited, like, just having that gold bar around the whole icon is an OCD thing. Like, so in D1, when you'd upgrade an item all the way, it would have that gold bar. And it was like just so nice to open your character and just see the gold bar around everything. And if I got something new, I was
Right.
like, I need to go grind this out immediately so that I have that gold bar. Like,
Yeah.
so I'm excited to be
I
able to
will
have
say,
masterwork everything.
one of the things I was like grievously afraid that they were going to change that I didn't want them to change was like the idea of random rolls, because I don't think random rolls were a good thing. I
No,
think they were terrible.
the more as we go along, I'm finding less and less people on these podcasts that used to talk about how they liked them, realizing they didn't like them.
I like being able to tell someone, "Oh yeah, dude, Nameless Midnight is legit," and they go,
Yeah.
"Okay, well, what role?"
Yeah, having weapon discussions where everyone understands what you're using is really nice.
You want, like, the only reason people hate quote unquote static roles is because they get the weapon that they want right away, or earlier than maybe they did in Destiny 1, because the opportunity to get a shit weapon is lesser. Like, what was it the other day? I was saying, "Oh, I need a new Scathelock," and poof, I got a new Scathelock.
Right. No, that's what I remember in D1 there was a weapon that was really good that I was trying to get, and then when I finally got one, it had the worst rolls possible, and I was like, well, I'm not gonna, and some people were like, well, that would make you grind for a new one. I was like, no, I just trashed the weapon and decided to figure something else out. Like, that totally ruined the grind for me.
Well, yeah. It's like I just got the weapon. I shouldn't have to grind for another one.
Exactly, you know. Well,
We have.
you spent 4 years, grinding for this piece of armor, and they finally gives it to you. It's the best armor in the game, but it rolled to be made out of tin foil. Like,
It's been fun.
So there we go. Masterwork armor, ladies and gentlemen. This is
I'm
exciting.
excited. I need to masterwork my Citizens of
How's
Past.
have you gotten any masterworks there, Russ?
I have. I've got the Garden Progeny one.
Oh,
So the
nice.
Curse of Osiris. Yeah. And I've got the Moss Epoch 3.
Oh, nice, dude. How
Wait,
do you like that?
isn't that two of the forge weapons?
I know one of them is. The Garden Progeny one is a forge weapon, because I've been working on those.
I think the other, what's the other one? Is that a, God, that's not a fusion
It's a
rifle, is
rocket
it?
launcher.
Oh, okay.
It's a rocket launcher.
Gotcha. How do you like
And
your
I
masterworks?
oh I love I mean I don't use the scout rifle in because it's a scout rifle. The Garden Progeny. I don't use it in Crucible a whole lot, but it's great for PvE. And I mean, because the masterwork ability, so like the abilities that I have on it, the are they called abilities? What's a better word for that? Modifications. are, you know, the one that I have is Outlaw. So its precision kills greatly decreased reload time, or the Masterwork ability, sorry, is the, I get a magazine. This weapon generates orbs on multi-kills and displays the number of enemies defeated by using it.
I'm actually looking at it right now. Yeah, your Garden Progeny's got 10 extra rounds of the magazine. That's actually really cool for a scout rifle.
Yeah, it's pretty legit. I mean, I use it in PvE a lot, and the precision kills, I mean, first of all, it's pretty intense. It packs a pretty big punch. And then I never run out of ammo. And then also the ability to precision kills greatly decrease reload time on a scout rifle. Pretty awesome.
That's cool. I'm glad. Yeah, I hadn't been able to talk to you about Masterworks yet. So then you're super pumped for armor then.
Yeah. Oh yeah. No, I'm really pumped for armor. I love Masterworks. I love that kind of, well, cause I'm a really big fan of adding uniqueness, right? Mm-hmm. I can build my character how I want to build my character, and Masterworks are just another level of that. I think we talked about this when they first started coming out, is, you know, being able to modify my character even more than just the different types of armor that I have on or the different weapons that I have, but then also being able to work with that weapon to get it exactly where I want it to be and how I like to play.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fun and interesting experience for me, which is why I really like the Forge. I like that introduction of the Forge, plus the weapons look cool and unique, but they're unique, you know, they're mine. I get to do with them what I want to do with them and make them how I want to be. You know what I mean?
Oh, for sure.
I like that. I like that. I think that that's always a good way to go, because it, you know, as a player, I want something that is me, and I want to be able to make it mine.
Oh, that's definitely the point of, you know, a looter shooter that has a lot to attain, is the ability to make yourself unique, you know.
Yeah. But even then, you have these Masterwork weapons that take it even one step further. So even if somebody has the same weapon that I have, that doesn't mean that their weapon does the same thing that mine does.
I like it. All right, we ready to move on, Nick? Did you have anything else you want to talk about Masterwork armor with?
I think it's already been said, like, everything that I would want to say. All right. Right now, I will... okay.
What? No, what? Go for it. Bring it. Bring it. Bring it. Do it.
I was going to say, armor customization. You know, like the whole Masterwork concept. Just the other day, when we were talking earlier about the fact that you jumped in and did a whole bunch of your milestones, so I was playing with you, not only did we do the milestones, but, like, you and I completed a whole bunch of the armor ornaments.
Yes.
Requirements for Season 2. So, like, I, right now, I'm... This will change. We all know this will change, but let me relish in it right now. My Warlock is decked out in the Vanguard set with the ornaments, so he looks like the jacket is all puffy, like a winter jacket. Mm-hmm. And, I feel lore-wise like I'm ready to go to the Ice Caps and Bars. Anyone?
It looks good.
I'm like super, super, super stoked. It makes me happy. But it's like I have yet to see another Warlock running around with the armor, like with the robe that has the ornament on it. So I think that's really cool. And then you add Masterwork on top of it, and it's like, oh, well, his is a heavy set instead of a... It's my dream that eventually they add slight cosmetic changes based on which archetype they are, but who knows?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's down the road. That would be pretty cool.
Isn't that what the ornament does?
Well, he means
right, but it's like
the ornament should be different based on your subclass, basically.
Well, that
I see what you're saying.
Well, that and say, because with Masterwork armor, you can change it so it's either like a resilience armor piece, which is heavy. Restorative armor piece, which is recovery, or whatever the heck mobility is. Like, what if they were to change each armor piece, like give it slight appearance variations based on which stat they favored?
Oh, I see what you're saying. Gotcha. So if it was a resilience piece, it'd be a little bulkier. If it
right,
was,
it'd be like armor shoulders or something. Like
if it was recovery, it'd have some, like, I don't know, some sort of healing tubery going on or something.
Maybe,
yeah.
Maybe, you know, like packages, like a package,
like a med kit,
you know, on the side.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be pretty cool.
If it's got mobility, it just puts the Nike icon next to your boots.
Yes. So if it's mobility, it's like the robe wouldn't be as long, or they would reduce the
everything would be armor. Much thinner. Yeah, for sure. All right, this next point, this is the last part of the January 30 update, and this is huge, ladies and gentlemen, okay? We are updating raid rewards to make them more unique and interesting. They will now feature mods with raid-specific perks, and we are adjusting the rewards to ensure a raid item drops from each major encounter.
Wow. How did I do?
The raid vendor will also directly... Oh, you're good. The raid vendor will also directly sell Leviathan Eater of Worlds armor and weapons for purchase with raid tokens and legendary shards. So they're updating Sweeperbot, so he's like all the other vendors now.
Good. Benedict. Pope Benedict. Yes. The big thing there for me is that it's giving raid-specific perks, but they're not intrinsic to the armor, which I find is interesting. They are equipped with mods.
Which is brilliant.
That to me is just like talk about making development easy for them. They don't have to recode an armor piece. They just have to recode a mod.
Well, it's the best way to do it easy for themselves while still like instead of going, okay, I like running in the gauntlet, so I need to have this armor piece. Like I can run what I want to run, and then if this person wants to have more, I don't know. And a mod that makes them quieter for dogs, but I want one that does something else there. Like I can switch and move mods around to make every part of the raid team unique to what they want to do.
Quieter for dogs.
Dogs the raid encounter, bruh.
So that you, because you know, if you jump or run, like they hear you and turn and run at you. So we had a mod that made you silent. For that, like, that would be a huge thing, and it wouldn't be good for, it wouldn't break the raid, because it wouldn't work for any other encounter, but for that encounter, you would be a god, you know, and that's the kind of stuff we need. Run the raid constantly so you get rewards that'll help you do the raid next time. That's raiding reward no-brainer 101. Thank you for finally putting that in. Alright, anyway.
You're welcome.
Also, adjusting the rewards to ensure a raid item drops from each major encounter. Instead of just, hopefully, I don't just get Glimmer after I finally beat this encounter. Like, it's guaranteed for big actual raid encounters. So not like the jumping puzzle and stuff in the lair, but, you know.
Maybe.
Probably that's not considered an encounter.
We get a loot chest after it.
I don't know, that jumping puzzle felt an awful lot like an encounter.
But it's not considered an actual encounter from what I've understood from all the descriptions, at least. It could be, but that's my understanding, is stuff like Dogs, Bass, Callus, the actual end boss of the raid lair, etc. Because they specifically said with the raid lair coming out that there was only one encounter. So
I know we're getting
that's just my stuff.
Oh, I see your point.
So there'll still be all the other chests, but it's only a guaranteed drop from the actual major encounters, is what they're doing. Instead of where before you could run the entire Leviathan raid and actually get nothing but Glimmer.
But Glimmer and Shaders, yeah.
Yeah, and that's huge. So they're also adding a new ghost with raid-specific perks that has a chance to drop from the Leviathan and Eater of Worlds final encounters. We intend to return to creating more raid and other activity unique rewards in the future.
That's how they did it in D1.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's huge. You should definitely be rewarded for raiding. That's the whole point of raiding, is to get gear so that you come back the next week and try to get better, newer gear. Not just because it's fun to do with my friends. Ah! You know.
I thought that's the only reason we did it.
No, I hate all of you. Like, seriously, you smell bad.
Oh. Well, fine. Hey, Brent.
Yeah, what's up?
Okay.
Okay, good. All right, so that is coming January 30th. That is this month. We're getting Masterwork Armor and Raid Rewards, okay? That's huge.
That's like big. Raid Rewards. I'm still jealous of the ship that you got from the Taken King raid. I want that ship, so That was a beautiful
one that looked like Super Hivey.
Yeah.
Yes.
So good.
All right, so next up we have February update. There's not a date. I'd assume it come alongside the Crimson event. Once again, this is a little farther out, so all this might not be 100%, but the strike scoring and high score tracking, we already talked in depth about that. Once again, that's only for Nightfalls. That's not going into the heroic strikes like it was in D1. They are looking to add, this is also fun though, we also have plans for clan and community high scores for the Nightfall. That's cool.
That's fun.
Yeah, that could be a lot of fun. Try to beat the score of people in just your own clan, let alone, I don't know, if region or just overall community, who's got the high score for the Nightfall this week.
I mean, we'll never end up on the scoreboard, but...
Not with that attitude. But, yeah, so that's cool. Mods 2.0. Work is underway on a full rework of armor and weapon mods. This will focus on reducing redundant mods, more unique theming, and greatly increasing their impact on your power. We are aiming for a February release, but the scope of the rework could push part or all of it out to early spring. We will be evaluating how mods play into the Bright Engram economy as a result, because we are sensitive to pay-to-win outcomes. Yeah. So, reworking the mod system so that you don't get a million blues. And that's making them more powerful, basically. Little things that are... So we're getting raid-specific mods. We're getting more powerful mods. Mods are where it's at. That's what we've been trying to say from the beginning. It's a cool theme that they just didn't do anything with. So I'm excited to see it super expanding into becoming a very interesting... Making more armor customizable for yourself, basically. You could run whatever you want now with Masterworks, upgraded mod system, and then the raid mods. You can wear whatever armor set you like that looks good for you to make you yourself. You can put whatever shader you want on each individual piece to make it you. And now we're going to have ways to make those individual armor pieces work individually for you and your playstyle. Like, this is everything we wanted finally coming. I'm pumped.
I don't think
that was my rant.
Too much modifiability.
Exactly.
Think that there is such a thing.
Did you want to do it on throw anything in there for the mods, Nick?
Not really. I mean, we'll see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
Mods are cool.
We know there are a certain couple podcasts out there that have beaten that like a dead horse.
Oh, for sure. So what they need to do. I know we said this the last 4 weeks in a row. No, I was kidding. Moving on. What'd you want to say, Russ?
Nothing.
Good.
Nothing important, anyway.
Oh, that's the story of your life. Quick play improvements. We are adjusting game mode rules to increase the pace of gameplay and power ammo acquisition in quick play. This is for the Crucible. So...
That's a good touch.
I don't know what they said. We're adjusting game mode rules to increase the pace. So there's no other explanation there. All we know is there's going to be more power ammo acquisition. And other than that, we have no idea what they're doing. So who knows? I'm sure the next few weeks we'll get more in depth of that. What's up?
You know, I do feel like power ammo is a little hard to come by sometimes in Crucible. So upping the pace at which it appears.
My only issue with that is like thinking of the groups we play against where it's like, oh, they rely solely on the guy with the sword.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, but...
It goes both ways.
But think of it this way. If the timer is set to where it appears in a shorter amount of time, that means that you're more able to be able to acquire that power ammo. And so it makes it a little bit more fair instead of one person with power ammo on the board who dominates everybody else. You see what I'm saying?
No, I hear you there. Because I don't usually go for the power ammo because I know I'm probably not going to get it. So knowing I could...
do just to keep it away from the guy with the sword.
Yeah. Well, because the big thing is how it's set now is it's like there's one that's up at the beginning of the match. And like the first, if you're able to get it from the beginning, you're the only person with power ammo for the first minute and a half.
Yeah.
And then after that, one or two of them pop. So really only half of the people in the match for 80% of the match have power ammo.
Right.
So upping it, yeah, I see what you're saying for sure. So upping it where more people have access to it, so then it doesn't become I guess, as, like, it's still going to make things crazier, you know, with more swords and rockets going off, but, like, if that person picks up sword ammo and I'm able...
Dominating.
Exactly. If that person's able to pick up sword ammo right away, but then I'm able to pick up rocket ammo, I'll just jump in the air and blast a rocket in his face instead of just going, well, right. I guess this is my fate now, you know.
Right.
So...
I hate heavy ammo. Power ammo, whatever that
power
was.
Power ammo. PC it. Tower chat, where they're adding text chat to the tower for the PC version. Good for you, PC.
Why aren't they adding it to the other consoles? Because being able to add somebody who can, you know, you've said this before, but being able to bring somebody in and say, hey, we need one more for the raid.
See, I don't agree
text
with you.
Text chat for console?
Because it's so nice to just walk up to someone and try to line up just right and then press options and then hope you lined it up and then go down to view player profile and then go to send message and then type them a message and then wait for their response and then exit the game so that you can open their message and then read it. It's super simple right now, Russ. I don't know what you're complaining about.
And then all they're telling you is that you're a piece of garbage.
All they need to do is give us an emote.
I'm still salty about that, by the way.
Well, no, I agree with you. Like, I don't think there needs to be, like, a full-on, like, just chat room for the tower, but I'd like to have something to go jump into the... Oh, hold on. Yeah. Big news. Hold on. 1 second. Our clan just hit rank 3. What up? Okay. Good job, Russ.
Oh, you're welcome.
Wait, we have a clan?
No, we don't. We hate ourselves. Hello, we are Just Some Guardians. You can find us on the PlayStation Network or message me in-game, Elmer Fudd. A double M. A double D. All right.
Double D.
But, my God, what were we talking about just now? Yeah, I don't want, like, a full-on chat room for the tower where people can just be like, YOLO swag, I effed your mom. But to have some way to just, like... Oh, we need one person for the raid. Right. Let me fly into the tower and real quick, like, hey, need one person for the raid. Anyone interested? Like, you're here. It's called a social space. There's 20 other guardians running around, and you don't do anything but go, oh, what armor is he wearing? Yeah. That's cool. Like, it'd be a way to increase the community, make it more social, make more friends.
What? Should you want? Really you want sure. like? Oh, you I'm want the really guard sure. text chat?
You want, like, a what?
I'm asking, like, you want outright text chat? Or what do you want specifically?
Something like that. Or some, like, maybe not, because I guess the way they could do it is without having a chat room, just come in and there'd be, like, a menu option, I guess, where you could pop out, like, to the tower would pop up in the corner, you know, where it says, like, so-and-so got blah, blah, blah from a Brett Ingram. They could pop out saying, so-and-so's looking for... more for Leviathan Raid, or more for Eater of Worlds, or more for the Nightfall. And then you could then shoot a message and say, hey, I'm interested, invite me. And then that'd be a way of doing what I want them to do without actually having a text chat that could turn into a horrible thing.
I literally heard, hey, I'm interested, bite me. That's what
so
I heard.
Close.
Yeah.
Oh, I need help.
So that's what I think they could do there. I hope so, eventually. An actual chat room could be horrible, especially with how the community is right now. It'd just be a never-ending hashtag remove eververse going on in the chat room in the tower all the time.
Right.
Remove reverse.
Neververse. Exotic repetition reduction. This will prevent players from receiving the same exotic twice in a row. You may still receive duplicates, just not consecutively. This is the fifth attempt at fixing exotic repetition reduction, so hopefully this one works. This is the fifth time I've read this out loud in a TWAB or some sort of update. We'll see how it happens. Okay, guys, this one, this is one of the most exciting things on the list for me, okay? Fire team members on destination maps. You will finally be able to see other members of your fire team on the destination map, no more having to ask your fire team where the hell they went when they fast travel to another landing zone. I could be on Nessus with you. I could go, oh, I wonder where he went. Open my map. Oh, look at that. Someone on my fire team is on the map.
so God, rah, why? I'm so excited. This has been the most frustrating thing for me all of Destiny 2 is trying to run the flashpoints with people going, okay, where the hell did you go? I have no idea. Or landing and going, where are you farming Vex at? I want to come join you. And you got to like, okay, take a left. You'll find a cube that's got some red in it, but it's not three red dots. It's four. Take a left there and you'll find me. Like,
it's like getting directions in Alabama.
Right? So the other street is going to be McDonald's. Not the one with the play place. It's just the drive through. You're going to take a right.
Yeah, for sure.
But if you hit Wichita, you've gone too far.
So that's
There's
February.
A big crease right through Wichita. Don't fold the maps. Roll the maps.
That was so dumb. Why did that tickle me so good? All right.
That was Twister, my friend. You're that tired. Not dumb.
I am tired. Oh my god, I haven't seen that movie in forever. I need to watch that again. So that's February. Coming, our spring update 2018. Once again, this is farther out. Some of the stuff could change. We are taking the time we need in development of Expansion 2 that will allow us to react to player feedback from Curse of Osiris. In the coming months, we'll talk to you more about what you can expect to find in Destiny 2's next story. The team is eager to show you what they've been working on. Independent of Expansion 2, the team will deliver a number of new features that will be released before or during Season 3. Every player of Destiny 2 will receive new content in the following categories. So this is all a part of that free stuff in a season, not part of the expansion, okay?
Right.
Crucible. We want to give players new reasons to play, more variety, and balance improvements. Spring will bring a number of exciting and long-awaited features to the Crucible. Crucible Rank. Beginning with Season 3, we will introduce seasonal Crucible ranks. There will be two different ranks for players to pursue. Now, this is cool. I was with you until I realized they're doing two different types of ranks, which is, like, brilliant. There will be two different ranks for players to pursue. Valor, a progression rank that goes up as you complete matches. Winning helps you move up faster, but there are no loss penalties. But then, if you're one of those people, you can go with the Glory rank, which is a progression rank that goes up when you win and down when you lose. Performance is how you move up here. Okay. So you can just go into Valor, and if you have a super high Valor number at the end of the season, that means you played the hell out of the Crucible.
If you go in some seriously cool stuff.
Yeah, if you go into Glory, you have a super high mode. That literally just means you are insanely good. And then
Not
you can
only
fit
insanely
in between.
Good, but insanely active. Like Crucible is your thing.
Yeah, for sure. So that's exciting that they're doing two separate
things. That sounds a lot better
things.
Than I was thinking.
What? Two separate things? They can do that? They can program? Oh, okay, I'm just kidding. That's going back to something earlier. Okay.
He has rabies.
I do have rabies. So in the picture, it shows like four guys in a fire team. And like one guy, they all have like a different icon. It's like a sword over their name that's different colors depending on their rank. And then they have like an overall like 5,500 or 4,235 points or whatever. So
that's pretty legit. I could get behind that.
So we'll see how that goes. I'm excited. That was one of the... Well, you think about it. With, like, the Halo series, like, people played the hell out of competitive in those, and you never got anything but a higher level, you know.
A number next to your name.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's all people played for was just to have a higher number next to your name, and that's exactly what they're doing.
If they could do that with Vanguard reputation, Vanguard, like,
who made,
would you strike till the cows come home?
Who made Halo? That was
I think it was a weird Bungie. Developer named after like a
some sort of jumping you do off a bridge.
One of those cords that just like bounce back.
Wait, it was Bungie. The guys that make this game we're playing that's just now finally getting this feature they had in games 10 years ago. Right.
I like how I didn't realize the bit that you guys were doing until I was like, it's Bungie.
You guys idiots. You call yourselves gamers.
Oh, they're doing a bit. Okay.
Russell, this is why we can't have nice things.
Me and Nick are just a non-stop bit. Yeah, what's up?
Brett.
Yeah.
Not Brett. Russ. Who's on first?
Yes. What's on second?
Dude, I don't know who's on third. Okay.
No, he's the pitcher. That again. All right, next up, we're getting private matches.
No, tomorrow's the pitcher.
Private matches are coming to all players of Destiny 2. Players will be able to invite their friends to play on the map and mode of their choosing. So there's a picture here. It looks like you'd expect it to be. You can choose your game type, your map, time limit, score to win, maximum lives, allow resurrections or not. All that good jazz. So that's cool.
Can you just knock Christians right out? Man.
You what?
Can you just knock Christians right out?
I did. No resurrections.
No resurrection.
Jeez.
That's funny, okay?
That is.
That was a joke to our two Indian listeners.
Or your atheist listeners.
So, all right. So,
No, those believe in reincarnation.
I believe in fertilization.
Wait, are you doing a bit again? Is there a bit happening?
I feel like, every time you're confused, it's just going to be, is there a bit happening? So,
it's beautiful.
Before I read this next point, once again, it's not changing everything. It's a separate playlist. There is coming a 6v6 playlist. They're bringing 6v6 PvP to Destiny 2 in addition to the current 4v4 game modes. I will try that out just to say I've tried it. Maybe I'll enjoy it. Maybe I won't. But
that'll be exciting. Nice when we have more than four of us that want to do the Crucible.
Exactly. Yeah, that's exciting. Also, Mayhem and 6v6 on these little maps that'll be insane.
Yeah,
speaking of Mayhem,
that is the maps were designed for 4v4, so it's like.
Well, at the same time though, we've gotten a couple maps that were literally just pulled from D1 and brought into D2. So we already have a couple maps
We already have a couple maps that were 6v6.
Is there something wrong with your voice, Brett? Is this a bit again?
I couldn't talk to him like that, so I had to change my voice.
Your new catchphrase
is this a bit? Is this a bit? Awesome.
Oh, that makes me so happy.
All right.
To work its way into our D&D campaign.
Oh, definitely.
It will.
Definitely.
I was just thinking that, Nick.
Really?
Like, I'm thinking NPC is going to have to say that at some point.
Right. Is this the bit? So, speaking of Mayhem, thank you for ruining my segue. Mayhem will return as a limited time event during Season 3 and going forward. So we are going to get more of Mayhem. I'm happy with that.
Remind me of what Mayhem is.
Mayhem is where everything cools down super fast, and it's just
just mayhem.
Torrential downpours of Nova bombs.
Okay. Yes, I've played that. Yes, I want that.
Let's see here. Additional fixes. We are making some changes to make quitting less common and behind-the-scenes security improvements to help improve the overall Crucible experience.
Quitting less common, not more common.
We want you to quit.
We want to encourage.
Listen, guys, are you a noob?
I couldn't have heard that right.
Are your teammates scrubs? We want you to quit as often as possible.
Take
every
your
time,
brother.
Every time you quit, you're going to gain 4 million ranks in PvP. You better get quitting, boys.
Well, they have valor. Maybe they were doing a thing called cowardice.
If you ain't quitting, you ain't ranking.
Wait, don't they have that campaign for smoking where you're just supposed to quit? Just quit.
Just quit, brother.
Now I want Hulk Hogan to play this game.
Oh my god, right? Yeah, there we go. I want for just for one season. For Hulk Hogan to comment instead of Shaq.
I hope we get Hulk Hogan to comment on the Overwatch League.
Oh, that would be amazing.
What we need is Hulk Hogan with Shaq. They're just like going back and forth. Because that would be entertaining. Because Shaq is amazing.
Your muscles are amazing. Thank you, brother.
Oh, thank you, brother. I appreciate the words you are laying down my direction, man. Additional highlights, weapon and ability balance pass, sandbox adjustments based on player feedback and data from the live game. The sandbox team will share specific changes as we lead up to season 3. We're getting our first sandbox actual update
since the game launched for season 3. Look at
actually,
that.
Actually, like, that's one of the announcements that disappointed me.
Why?
Because I think there is a bug right now that allows for infinite Nova Bombs in the Crucible.
That's only in Mayhem, I thought.
Okay, disregard.
Yeah, that was only in Mayhem. That wasn't regular Crucible, my man. So,
I'm no longer upset. You have diffused my anger.
Yay!
Are you a guru? Gee, you are you.
Exotic weapon and armor balance pass. Exotic weapons and armor are receiving comprehensive design pass to ensure they stand out from the rest of the gear and offer new, exciting, powerful ways to play. Especially since the masterwork system for both weapons and armor is in place, it's almost like, why bother using exotic? Because not a lot of them are really that good right now.
What else is on the list for the future?
Okay, we're not talking about exotics. Understood. Moving forward.
No, there's something on the list. There's something on the list in the future that answers the question.
Is it farther down?
They're going to be looking at masterwork exotics.
Ooh. I didn't see that. Okay. God, that's insane. Good, wow. That's a lot.
They should do it like a create your own exotic.
Seasonal reputation. This is like something you wanted earlier there, Nick. Specific vendors will now display a seasonal ranking. Earning reputation will unlock unique seasonal rewards and reset each season. Boom! There you go. You got your Vanguard thing that's going to show you a number every time you rank up. You're going to get rewarded
I may or may not have known that was coming and planted that suggestion.
I was totally hoping you were just being yourself and were being an absolute idiot and just missed it, and this is going to blow your mind.
What? Damn.
I totally forgot how to read when I got to that point.
Improved Iron Banner and faction rallies.
Is this a bit?
In addition to the changes that you will see when Iron Banner and faction rallies return this month, we will continue iterating on these to make them unique, exciting experiences that you all look forward to. Hopefully I get like an Iron Banner Sparrow or in a ship or something. That'd be sweet.
An Iron Banner is an Iron Banner, but it's a banner.
I'm literally like Witch's Broom in space. Iron. Just a giant Iron Banner on my guardian is just flying through subspace with all you guys.
But it's iron, so it doesn't weigh
or anything. Or I'm just standing in one pose holding the banner high and I'm just like flying forward through space. Onward!
No. Forward, not backward.
Follow old Albert Fudd. He know the way.
Double M, double D.
Playlist repetition reduction. This feature solves the problem of experiencing the same playlist entry multiple times in consecutive or frequent succession for both Crucible and Strikes. You're not going to get the same Crucible mode 100 times in a row. We're not going to do Savathun's song 7 times in one night.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, this is exciting. Endgame player pursuits. We agree with your feedback on the imbalance between achievements and bright engram rewards. Huzzah! And we will be making adjustments to shift more rewards into specific endgame pursuits instead of generic XP grinding for bright engrams. What? We are excited to share the details as soon as we have them worked out.
Okay, hold on. When is that coming?
That's just future highlights. That's not an actual date attached to that.
All right. I want you to read that again without the silly voice.
Do you want me to read it again, or do you want me to just say what it said? Because basically what it says is we understand that bright engrams aren't as fun as we thought they were.
Right, but what does it say?
We agree with your feedback on the imbalance between achievement and bright engram rewards, and we'll be making adjustments to shift more rewards into specific endgame pursuits instead of generic XP grinding for bright engrams. Which is what they said earlier, that they're moving stuff from just being Eververse rewards into actually being like raid and strike rewards.
So they're not going to address that whole issue until Lord knows when. They've spoken to it, but they're not going to do anything about it yet.
Which they said earlier. Yeah. So, Season 3, we'll see those changes where stuff like Ikora's ship and everything is going to be an actual pursuit outside of Eververse like it should.
Yeah, Russ, you should see my ship. My ship is sick. I just so happen to have enough bright dust to buy it.
And that's a sad thing to have to say.
Yeah, I suggested on Reddit that Ikora's resolve, the ship, should come from completing the campaign without dying.
All of those ships that she has currently should be attached to something because they're all attached to a major lore person.
Oh my god!
It's not just a cool ship.
Resolve so bad.
Saint 14 ship's in there. Osiris's ship is in there. Like, all that should be attached to something that's not... Oh, gee, Williker, I hope this week it's on the board and I happen to have enough Brat Dust.
Oh my gosh, I want that so bad and I don't have enough Brat Dust.
That is so depressing. That should be, I want that so bad, I'm going to go grind Ikora's whatever her thing she does. If you rank up five times with Ikora in Season 2, you get her ship or something.
No, for ships, exotic ships, I think, should have, like, super awesome, unique things attached to them. Like, you should play through the campaign without dying.
Or but then I'd have to start like a whole character over, because I can't just go back and play the campaign when I want.
Would you?
Or they could get it from a raid like you did in D1.
Or they could implement some sort of mechanic where you can play through the campaign again.
Dude, I don't know. That sounds hard. Like, they've never had that before, so I don't think you could pull that off.
I would pay money for this ship.
Oh.
I want the ship.
Oh, no, you can. Russ, open your wallet, my man. It's the Eververse. You can pay for this ship.
But you can't buy Bright Dust. You can only buy
silver. All you need to do is... Here we go. Hold on. Just buy the 5-pack of illuminated engrams for 800 silver. And hope to God you get it. So,
did you guys see the Hunter's Cloak, though? The Hunter's Cloak is pretty cool, too.
That's all you gotta do, Russ. It's right there, easily for you to obtain. Without any gameplay.
Super, super easy.
Alright, moving on. Multi-emote. For the fifth time, they're talking about this. When multi-emote launches, you'll be able to choose which emote you have equipped to each of your 4 emote slots. Once again, no idea when we're getting an emote wheel. But they keep talking about it. There you go. All right. Are you ready to laugh your ass off?
Yes.
I'm no joke, laughed out loud when I read this. All right. Fault space. We are targeting an additional 50 slots to player vaults. What?
Wait, is that all they said?
We don't believe just adding more space is a complete solution in our... actively working on other changes to reduce load on your vault space. So they're looking at doing more stuff, but for the time being, they're just adding 50 slots where people need like 150 more slots.
Did they say anything about shaders?
Nothing. Nope. Just that they're going to add a exotic accessory tab to the vault collection, so you'll no longer need to spend vault space on exotic ships, sparrows, and ghosts. But your shaders and everything, and all your regular armor sets and everything else will all take place in the same vault with only 50 more slots.
I mean, don't get me wrong. If I see a shader, I don't like it, dismantle it. So.
I'd like to throw stuff in my vault instead of dismantle stuff, though. Don't get me wrong. I dismantle really crappy shaders, but there's been times where I'm like, I don't want to, but I have no choice because this shader's slightly cooler. And that shouldn't be a thing.
They did say they were going to address ways to collect various items earlier on.
I wonder. Now, hear me out. This is a crazy idea, okay? But no. What if in the tower they added kiosks that you could go up to that has stuff you've earned? And you could just store stuff there. How crazy does that sound?
One of the early goals, they said, was streamlining the collection process. So, there you go. Maybe that 50 additional vault space thing is factoring in their pre-existing decision to expand the collection process.
You know what I would like is if they added a kiosk that allowed you to purchase weapons that you may have destroyed in the past.
That's outrageous. Yeah, they've never had that. All right? No, they've never had that before, Russ. That's crazy talk. Kiosks are an impossible thing. Kiosks are an impossible thing. There's no way they could program a kiosk that can hold your emblems or that holds your ships or that holds your shaders. It's ridiculous.
Are you making fun of me, Brett?
It's a bit. That was all. That was all in Destiny 1. Yes. That was all stuff in Destiny 1. You can go to the tower. There's kiosks that held all the shaders you had earned and showed you ones you didn't have and how to earn them. Ships you'd earned, ships you hadn't earned, and showed you how to earn them. Exotic weapons, exotic armor.
I did not know that that was a bit.
Oh, that's because I'm really good at hiding bits.
Are you really?
I am. Small stuff like this, I try not to get super salty all the time, but stuff like that, I'll go for it.
You know, I was watching a video today, and it was from whatculture.com, and they were talking about the 10 worst games from 2017. Guess what, like, number 5 was?
What?
Destiny 2.
Ouch. I wouldn't put it on one of the worst games at all.
I love
this game. Either. There's definitely stuff that you do, but it's not a worst game for. There's definitely way worse games of it in the market than Destiny 2.
Oh yeah. Well, and I mean that was kind of what I was thinking too. I thought it was more funny because, you know, we love Destiny, but you know, I think part of the draw for us too is we have a group of people that all play Destiny together, and we all enjoy each other's company. You know what I mean?
Exactly. I could see if you're like a, you know, a solo player where this would be a much more frustrating situation to be in, but we have a really fantastic core group of people that we can fall back on and just have fun together, but...
What?
So... Oh, another... PC clan chat. In addition to the tower chat that is targeted for February, we're adding clan chat to the PC version of the game. That one is really cool, actually.
Why the hell can't we get PS4 clan chat, huh?
Because apparently PC master race, I guess. I don't know.
No, I think they should at least give us like a voice option.
Oh, for sure.
Ow, why don't you guys just get in a party?
No, that's not what we want, okay? I want to go to the clan tab and have something I can... If you go to bungie.net to your clan, there's a clan chat section there. Like, why isn't that just in the game? You know what I mean?
No, what do you
because...
mean?
So what I mean is... Party options. David Jex. Remove from group. All right.
Rude.
Heroic Strike changes. We'll be introducing more modifiers to add more gameplay variety to the experience. That's cool. I already love doing Heroic Strikes. So I'm excited to get more. No, like, you know how you'd have, like in the Nightfall, you'd have your grenade would do more. Your grenades would recharge faster, or... Like they've had before where, like, your arc damage will do more damage, but also if you're fighting an enemy with arc, they'll do way more damage to you, stuff like that.
Yes.
Or the opposite end, where all your abilities recharge super slow, or ammo is impossible to find, or, you know, stuff like that.
You only heal one thing. Yeah.
Yeah, stuff like that for sure, which will make the heroic strikes even more replayable, since they already are super fun, but... More reasons to just have fun and not make them monotonous ever. I'm all for. Fall 2018 or sooner. We're working on a lot more that we're not quite ready to discuss. Expect more on this small sample of items in the future. So stuff we can expect to hear more in depth, we can just sort of put on our list to get excited for later. Item collections and records, which we just talked about. Weapon slot and archetype improvements. Interesting. Additional Crucible playlists. Example,
Rumble.
Example's the word I was looking for like 45 minutes ago, by the way. All right, moving on.
Oh, jeez.
Better
personal problem.
Better clan rewards. Interesting. Here's I didn't see this earlier there. Masterwork exotics, that's what Nick was talking about. Pinnacle weapon and gear improvements. Trials of the Nine improvements. Shaders and dismantling.
Yeah, that's what we need.
The future of guided games. And address solo versus fire team matchmaking.
Address?
Yes. So if
you're
you
put address
exactly. So if you solo queue for a fire team, it's going to put your character in a dress. The people in groups know that you don't have friends to play with.
That seems fair.
I'm going to queue by myself all the time just to wear a dress. Dude, he just wrecked all of our score points at the end of this nightfall, and he did it in a dress! I did it in heels, Scrubs.
Thank you, Bryce Dallas Howard. Ooh, by the way, Bryce Dallas Howard, female actor who played the main character in Jurassic World. Her entire film, she did all of her own stunts. She was wearing high heels, like stiletto heels.
That's intense.
She sprinted in the jungle in stiletto heels.
That's insane. That is truly impressive.
Wow.
Like what? What?
All right, I'm gonna close. I'm gonna close the Destiny section here out real quick, and then we'll move on to a new segment that we are adding. Prepare yourselves.
What?
One final note, expect to hear... That's because you're a loser. Expect to hear more from us via Bungie.net, Twitch, and social media. We'll be talking to you more directly and more often. They're listening, guys. As promised, we want to thank our community for all the passionate and detailed feedback you provide. I always love their wording in this. Because you know he typed something and then laughed and then deleted it and then typed this. Like, you know that happened. Because I do it all the time. It's critical to our ability to continually improve Destiny, so thank you. Talk to you soon, Christopher Barrett. Here we go.
Christopher Barrett.
So I assume that means we're going to see some more Twitch streams. Hopefully not ones for like a DLC, but like, here's everything we're working on. We want to show you exactly what it is and get you excited for it. That's the kind of Twitch streams I want to see from them. I'm excited
for
that.
That's a thing?
Mm-hmm.
I'm interested to see if they have another Bungie podcast coming.
I hope so. I think they said that they want to do it more often when they did the last one. So, because that was a lot of fun to listen to. I would love them to do an episode where they just get all their community managers and just let them bitch about their job for like an hour.
Customer service will never get that opportunity.
I know. But I would replay that one like 900 times. So right, that's so it for our Destiny stuff. Go ahead.
No, hold on. I want to know your final thoughts on your being Brett, and then we'll do Russ, and then we'll do Russ and then me, and then Brett can close it out.
Okay.
What were your final thoughts on the update and the changes that are coming? And give us a little bit of your perspective. Like, were you like an avid D1 player, or did you really jump in D2? I totally burped while I was saying that.
Was it an intense burp? Did it shake the couch like my fart did last week?
No, it was really, like, hollow and juicy.
Is this a bit?
It is.
Oh, okay. Who's going first again?
Russ.
Okay, Russ, go for it, bud.
Well, I mean, my thoughts on the upgrade, I mean, it sounds like they're making improvements, which is always nice to see. I mean, when you have an online game, I mean, that's kind of part and parcel for continued use, right? I'm excited about modifications. You know, Masterworks, and the idea of Masterwork exotics, that seems really, really cool. We didn't talk about that a whole lot, but that just seems like a really cool idea. I'm really excited about that. And Masterworks just kind of in general, armor especially, is a cool thing. But yeah, I mean, I played Destiny 1. I mostly played it with Brett because I didn't I don't think I ever. No, I played it with you, Nick.
We did. Prison of Elders like a couple times.
Yeah. I think that's how I met you. Which is funny. We were doing back.
The Hive boss in Prison of Elders. Psylocke, the Defiled.
And I kept dying all the time.
Best line in the entirety of Destiny 1's voice acting is Psylocke, the Defiled.
But, you know, I mean, and I'm excited to see where Destiny 2 is going, and then eventually Destiny 3. I mean, I like Destiny. I think it's a great game. I think they did a really good job of making an MMO that's a first-person shooter that's action-oriented instead of turn-based. I mean, you don't see a lot of those. So I support what they're doing. I think they're doing a great job. There's some things that they can improve on, but that doesn't make them a bad company, you know what I mean? So I'm looking forward to continued support and changes. The end.
The bit I like that. I like it a lot. All right, Nick, what are your overall thoughts here moving forward?
Overall, I think about 70 to 80% of what Bungie is adding, quote unquote, adding to Destiny 2 is a bunch of BS because those things were already in Destiny 1. Like, they were already there. And the community was engaged, and the developers were engaged with the community, and feedback was given, and that was the way things were. And I feel like they overpromised and underdelivered with Destiny 2. I feel like Bungie was caught with their pants down, thinking, like, oh shit, we actually can't do this. The community's going to cannibalize us, and we will no longer be a studio. And God bless EA for having the whole Battlefront fiasco to add fuel to the fire, because I think Bungie was called out on, and whether it was Bungie proper or the Activision portion of things, I don't know. And frankly, I don't care. I think they were caught with their pants down. And I think that they are realizing that right now and trying to save face. And I think the majority of what they announced today is a daily and a dollar short. That being said, exotic Masterworks and Masterwork Armor is very exciting. Bringing back Sky, like none of what they've announced is not exciting to me. All of it is exciting because I loved playing Destiny in Year 3. I loved it. I feel like I'm getting that game back. Therein lies the problem. I should never have lost that game. That game should have been here day one of Destiny 2. I'm very excited about everything they announced, while at the same time sitting there looking at them with my glasses down on my nose. Like, really, kids? Alright. Love Destiny. Love Bungie. But I think that they could do better. They know they could do better. And they were caught. And now they're trying to make up for it. That's what I feel like. But yes, very excited for Gods of Mars. Very excited for the updates coming, but come on, Bungie. Like, we're not stupid. Clearly. Well, maybe me, but Russ and Brett are stupid.
Wait, we are stupid? Is that what you said?
I said, wait, okay, me, but Russ and Brett aren't.
Oh, I thought you said, well,
that is the single most nicest thing anyone's ever said to me. That was so sweet.
That's pathetic.
You're going to make me cry. Someone doesn't think I'm stupid. I'm calling my mom right now and letting her know. Someone doesn't think I'm stupid, Mom. Well, they're wrong. Good night, click. Okay, so.
No, that's what your dad would say.
You're not wrong. All right.
All right. So, Brett, what are your thoughts?
I'm agreeing, like, this is all super exciting stuff. This is going to help Destiny 2 become the game it needs. But yeah, I agree with you completely. The fact that I think if they just started out by saying, just been real with us and went, hey, something happened in the development process. We can't get all the stuff we know you guys want, but it will come eventually. We're just going to be real with you and let you know. I've been fine with it. But to just not have it and then come later and announce the stuff like, look how cool this is, when we already had it. Like, that's the wrong approach. I think if they just sat down and been super real about it, I think it'd been fine. But to do it the way they're doing it is kind of like, bah. But at the same time, this is all stuff I've enjoyed before. I'm excited to do it again. I'm excited to have more reasons to do everything. I'm excited to want to do everything more often. And then on top of it, the new things we're getting, like everyone, you, both of you have talked about, you know, Masterwork armor, Masterwork weapons, new raid layers, new raids, ships and sparrows and stuff alongside that, new game modes possibly coming in Crucible that maybe will make you not throw, maybe not make me throw 900 pillows against the wall while I'm trying to do my milestone.
Do you mean children?
Or also children? No, definitely children. So what I do, because I'm not heartless, like I stuff my children into the pillow before I throw it. like I want them to be safe, obviously.
Okay.
Gotcha. But yeah, gotcha. overall, I'm very excited for what's to come. Most of it, the stuff that should have been here, but it's just the way it is, and all we can do is just hope for the best for this game that we obviously love. Because we're here 2 hours later doing a Destiny podcast, you know. We're excited. That's all there is to it. So, yeah. Right? Is this a bit?
It is a bit.
So I'm excited. You know, maybe I'll get more into Crucible with competitive stuff coming. And they're doing competitive in the right way. Private matches could be fun for me to just kind of test stuff out without trying to test stuff out against people that are way better at the game than me. So that's exciting. I hope we get one of my favorite things to do, and I'm just going on a tangent here, just because, is like when you have. That's true. This is my time, guys. Shut up and sit back. All right, here we go.
Here we go.
So one of my favorite things in like multiplayer games is when you have, you know, something like a private match or something, where then you can do bots. So like I'd love to like just go in there private match with an enemy of like bots, you know what I mean? Like, that's impossible to do in Destiny. Yeah. I understand that.
But I mean, super like, fun. As large. Why is it impossible? Have they tried it? We could do bots in Halo.
Well, there's different. Well, that's the thing, though. Like, you know, in bots in like Halo or Call of Duty, they just have to run, jump, throw a grenade, and shoot. Like, this one, you've got other abilities going on with subclasses and supers, and like, programming just a bot to be able to do that, I'm sure, would be more difficult. So.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure it's possible, but that's probably not something that'd be a big enough thing that they'd have to put resources towards. But I think that'd be fun. So that's my random tangent. But yeah, overall, I'm very excited for everything. This is definitely a positive, you know, as the first big update of the new year. Just exploding and then coming out and saying, like, none of this is set in stone. We know we've said we're not going to talk about it unless it's set in stone, but we need to stop doing that. So that everyone's in the loop, we have to be more transparent than we already are trying to do. And that's big for me.
I appreciated that.
Yeah, that's huge. You know, instead of what I was really afraid we'd get was a, don't worry, guys, we're listening, and then sign Christopher Barrett, you know. So I'm excited. I'm in a good place. Okay. So that's it for me. Let's move forward. I'm not going to do any intros for this because this is going to be completely and 100% Nick's segment. So go take it away.
I have two words for you both. Are you ready?
I am.
I feel like there should be some intro music here. This is Nick's show.
No, it has to be like 90s, like sitcom.
Please tune like out now.
Oh, can we get like the Roseanne laugh right now? In post production, there we go.
Oh God!
Just a little bit of the harmonica.
I'll do that for you.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. Cool.
What about a Apache helicopter sounds?
So, real quick before we get into this, just because this is something that has to be said.
The look I just got from Jake was priceless.
That's awesome. So we are running super over in time this week. So just keep that in mind. I don't want to cut you super short, but we can't go too crazy on tangents.
That's fine.
So
we'll be pretty quick because it's only been a day or two.
Yep. All right, go.
All right. So, gentlemen, my two words for you are Overwatch League.
Yes.
Have you had a chance, yes or no, Russell, to watch the Overwatch League?
No, but I want to. I forgot about it today, and yesterday I didn't have my computer because my wife so inconsiderately took it to work with her. I want to so bad.
So if you open your phone, there's an app you can download. The Overwatch League has its own app that you can actually watch the games live from your phone.
Oh, really? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
This isn't a bit.
This is a real thing. This is a real thing. Okay. Yeah. So the app will give you...
This is my segment, you lady part.
I'm sorry. He was complaining about not being able to watch, and I wanted to introduce him to that. I'm backing off.
You've changed my world.
We are not only talking to Russell. We are talking to the world. Russell, if you download on the Google Play Store or the iTunes Store...
Jeez, whoa. Some hostility. Jeez.
I can't even do it.
I'm sorry, Nick. I'm sorry for not knowing.
I need a moment.
Anyway, now there's an app on the Google Play or iTunes app store called Overwatch League. So in the app, if you just so happen to have a Blizzard ID, Battle.net ID, sorry, you can keep track of your favorite team, should you have one. If you do not have one, do not fret, my child. You will develop one. So basically, the Overwatch League in its inaugural season is being hosted by the MLG Network. You can watch it on Twitch TV or twitch.tv/Overwatch League, or you can visit twitch.tv and click on top streaming games at any point during the season, and you'll see Overwatch at the top, if not the top. Just saying. But anyway, in season one, there are 12 teams. I do not have them in front of me at the moment, and I confess I'm running a Heroic Strike right now, so I can't really get them for you. But there are a dozen teams in the first season, the inaugural season of the Overwatch League. There are 6 Atlantic Division teams and 6 Pacific Division teams. Today was day 2. Brett, I know you had a chance to watch some of what day 2's...
Do you want me to read the teams real quick? Because I have it up.
If you have it up and you are willing, like bless you, Mother Teresa.
So we've got the Boston Uprising, the Dallas Fuel, Florida Mayhem, Houston Outlaws, New York Excelsior, Los Angeles Valiant, Los Angeles Gladiators, London Spitfire, Philadelphia Fusion, San Francisco Shock, Seoul Dynasty, and Shanghai Dragons.
Yes. So,
you know, you
obviously
do kind of look like Mother Teresa.
Sans the beard. Mother Teresa's beard was bigger. here's the thing. Like, the majority of the Season 1 teams are continental United States-based. But that does not mean that in Season 2 we will be limited to the same geographic scope. So, if you live in a city or a township or a country, even, that you think should compete in the Overwatch League, let your local politicians know, because it is something that is no different than any other sports team. It's being treated just like any other sports league. That being said, Brett, I know you had a chance to watch the inaugural day yesterday.
Yes.
And today, and some of today.
Correct.
What were your thoughts? What did you think? If you could speak a little to like what the experience itself was like and what you thought of perhaps the production value.
Definitely.
You know, people hear esports and they kind of think, you know, watching like the poker championships, and it's like that sounds like watching golf, you know. What insight can you give us? What were your thoughts?
Okay, so I've been really pumped for this for a while. And so I got off work and flew home, told everyone to not talk to me, shut the door, opened a root beer, opened Twitch on my PlayStation, went to the channel, full screened it. I didn't want to care about chat, and just embraced it. So the production value is just top notch. It's what they said they wanted to do was come in and do something on another level, more professional. Think, you know, NFL stuff to that level. And it definitely feels it. They have overall casters that talk about what's coming up, some interviews with players. The area it's in is really well done. The screen going across the whole platform is just fantastic. Where they have the team sit, it's very professional. There's not fog machines and smoke and confetti popping out, which is a lot of esports stuff do, which is way over the top. I think the biggest thing for me that was just, besides the level of gameplay, is just something I will never attain in Overwatch. But two things. The live commentators during the games were absolutely breathtaking. They got along well. They were very, very... they knew exactly what they were talking about. It was very quick, talking to players, characters, what they were doing, when they were doing it, what they could have done, what could happen from this, and boom, boom, boom on the fly, and it was very well done. And the second thing was how they were able to portray the actual game between moving around from first-person perspectives when something exciting was going on to a third person to when it zoomed out over the map and had live icons of everyone moving. Like, how they did everything in sequence live, I don't know how they did it, but I'm completely blown away at the production level of this.
So, speaking of, like, production level and how viewers would view it, what are your thoughts on their implementation of team colors in not only the skins for each team, but also the effects of each character? Because I'll be honest, that actually caught me off guard, seeing Mercy's heal beam as purple when the Los Angeles Gladiators were playing. It was a little interesting, but what were your thoughts on that?
That was huge to me. So I sat Lisa down, who's watched us play Overwatch before, but she doesn't exactly understand every character and what's going on. And she made the comment that she was able to follow what was going on, and I think that was an absolute brilliant strategy on
their
part.
That's awesome.
It made it very, it was very visually pleasing to watch, having the different colors, and the teams had their own skins, and all the abilities had. It made me really want to like have the ability to change the color of some of the abilities I use. It was awesome to watch. So I'm leaning towards Gladiators. I'm just gonna throw that in here, but. Like, watching all the effects in purple was, like, so cool. It made me so happy. But, yeah, I think that was the best decision ever. It makes it way more watchable for people that don't play it at any level, really, you know.
Right.
Because there's going to be a huge audience of people that are going to check it out that never played Overwatch that are gamers just because of what it is. And so to make it that accessible for everyone is just huge. It's brilliant.
Right. And I know that you said you're partial to the Gladiators. Can you expand on that at all?
So, going in, I didn't really look up too many of the teams. I didn't really have someone I was rooting for before it started, and was starting with an open mind. And just, like, when they came out on stage, you know, they seemed pretty comfortable. They did a couple of insights with a couple of people on the team. I kind of liked their attitudes and their humor. And then when they were playing, they were very noticeably skilled and pulling stuff that I'd never thought to do. And just a lot of their tactics were just very different than what other people were doing. And they were dominating, basically, but having a really good time doing it. And you could tell. And I really enjoyed that. So that partly is why I kind of am leaning towards them. They kind of clicked with me. I don't know why.
Okay.
Also, they're one of the few people I've seen play in Orisa, and that's my tune, so.
Orisa. I will say that I actually heard their name is Orisa?
Yeah, I heard a lot of really interesting pronunciations of names that I've never even heard characters in the game call them that, so I don't know what that was about, but...
Yeah, Orisa, I understand. Lucio, I shut down. And
yeah, that one was funny.
So, but anyway, thank you, Brett. Genuinely, I appreciate it. You had a little more time yesterday, I know, to watch the inaugural matches.
I watched from the beginning to the end of yesterday. I was super
pumped. Can I say something?
I love it. Yes, Russ, please.
I just have a little something to add. I haven't watched it yet, but the idea of this is super exciting to me because it's like all the sci-fi books that I read where they're referencing, you know, these sports events that revolve around games and, you know, virtual reality and things like that. This is like the initial step towards that. And the idea that you're having something outside of esports, but something that's like, it's like a National Football League. This is a National Overwatch League where they have people that are, you know, from cities or townships or whatever that represent the place where they reside. That is a cool thing. Like, I didn't even know that was a thing. Like, I thought, as we were leading up to this, I mean, we talked about it a little bit. I was thinking it was just a, you know, a regular esports kind of thing, which is still cool, but to know that it's something much broader, something that they're trying to institutionalize, that's exciting to me because I don't watch sports. I don't watch football. I don't watch soccer. I don't really get into it. I watch an occasional college football game, but it's mostly with family because my dad's super into it, and it's fun watching it with him. But the idea of now something that's competitive that I can watch and get into and be like, oh, yeah, do you see this? Because, you know, I've always looked at those people and been like, you know, I wonder, you know, maybe it's worth sitting down and watching football because they seem to get such joy out of it. But having that kind of thing with a video game, to me, speaks to me because it's like, oh, yeah, did you see that move right there? That's a called, you know, that thing is going to do this. And, you know, being able to see that in the way that most people are able to view sports is an exciting concept to me. So I'm excited. Now I'm really, really excited to watch it.
It's wonderful. It's genuinely wonderful. They have replays. They have slow-mo montages of, like, some of the best kills in each game. Those slow-mo montages, by the way, featured Lucio's healing and movement, like, remix tracks, which I think is hilariously fantastic. The production value is 100% there. One thing I also enjoy about the announcers is they acknowledge the fact that there's a quote-unquote current meta in the game. So it's not, you know, it's not like, oh, this game is as it is and it will be the same forever. Like, no, there is a current meta. That meta includes Tracer. That's the way it is. The meta includes Tracer. They acknowledge that. And whenever there's a team that doesn't have Tracer, they're like, oh, wow, this team, this comp is not adhering to the meta. This is interesting. Let's see what happens, you know. But Brett, like, I love that you pointed out that you were impressed by the commentators. Because you're right, not only are they talking about what's happening on screen, but they're also talking about the implications of it, and they're talking about perhaps the thought that went behind or came before a certain maneuver. Before you even realize that someone has selected a different character, they're already commentating on the fact that, ooh, we have a blah on the field, and that's not typically who insert player here plays. You know, so they already know the strengths and weaknesses of each player at each team. The smallest team is 6 players. The largest team, I want to say, is 14, I think.
That sounds about right.
I can't remember it. I want to say it's the London team.
And then there's a few teams that have people that are ready. And, like, while the league's going, because I think one of the requirements, you have to be 18 to play. So they have people on their team that are going to turn 18 while the league's going, and then they'll be able to dive into actually being on the bench. So that's cool how that'll change up throughout, too.
Right. The first season, this inaugural season, goes through June, or goes through summer. I don't know if it ends in June or not, but it goes through this summer. I know today, Russ, you actually spoke pretty close to what I was feeling earlier today. I don't watch sports. There have been a couple times, like, I live in Wisconsin, half hour away from Green Bay, you know, Title Town, USA, Green Bay Packers. I've been to one football game. One. Only one. And I was in a friend's season tickets, and they were, like, sixth row on the 50-yard line. It was very exciting, because I was right there, and I'm like, oh, this is cool. You know, my nerd brain is thinking, oh, it's like two front lines in a battlefield, like, pushing against each other. Oh, this is exciting. That's because that's what it is. That's what it's based on. But I don't find the game interesting at all. I think it's boring. I think that they should play rugby, really. Like, come on, let's ditch the sissy pants and play rugby. I found myself today, we had, Jake and I had dinner plans with a friend of mine from work at 6 o'clock Central Time. 6 o'clock Central Time is when the Houston Outlaws had their first match of this first season of the Overwatch League. The Houston Outlaws play host to the player that I was most, like, transfixed by during the Overwatch World Cup playing for the United States team. His Battle.net ID is just Jake. I think his name is Jake Lyons. But he plays for Houston Outlaws. And I actually caught myself today thinking, damn it, I'm going to miss the Outlaws games. You know, that's never, ever, ever happened to me before.
Yeah. And by the way, Jake played really interesting. Good. Okay.
Did he really? Oh, did you get to see Jake play his game?
I got. He played a lot of soldier, and he was really good.
Okay. He's a soldier Genji main, so far as I understand. So, his Genji, like, I would probably have an aneurysm if I tried to do that as Genji, but, yeah. So anyway, like, both of the things that all of the things that you both have said, I should say, like, strike a chord with me, and it's unprecedented. It is trailblazing. Mm-hmm. I think that we're finally at a point where, rather than relying on another company to come in and host a quote-unquote league or championship or World Cup, Blizzard is now to the point, Blizzard Entertainment with Activision, is now to the point that they are able to say, we are founding a worldwide league for Overwatch.
Right. And that's
huge.
Do
you want to join? And cities are able to be like, yes, we want to join. And so then that city will then host a team, no different than a city would host a team for the MLB or the NFL or...
Right.
Exactly, yeah. Players are contracted. They're paid a salary rate.
So it's pretty interesting. I can't wait to see what happens with the Overwatch League through this first season and what happens in the second season. I love the fact that they did a play on the MLB logo and they used Tracer. And instead of it being, you know, red and blue, it is black and yellow, like Overwatch. So... yeah, like kudos to Blizzard and Activision for pushing it as far as they have. The reaction on Twitch and the reaction worldwide to Overwatch World Cup was astounding and spoke volumes. And so now we have the Overwatch League to look forward to.
Can I jump in here real quick? Since you just mentioned, you know, that with Twitch getting excited, I actually sat down while watching it and was writing down Twitch viewership as we went, if you wanted some of those numbers.
Go for it.
Because it was pretty exciting. So again, this is just Twitch hosting it. If you actually went to OverwatchLeague.com stuff, they actually hosted it there too. So I don't have the numbers of people watching it there. But just on Twitch through the whole event, it held a steady 360,000 people at any moment.
Wow.
Do you have peak numbers?
And that was just for the English channel. There was a French and a Korean also on Twitch that were hosting it, that were official.
I know, yes. Yesterday when I tuned in, and I was not feeling well yesterday, so I don't know how long I watched it, but when I first tuned in yesterday, there were 425,000 people watching on Twitch.
Correct.
In the English channel.
So
that's impressive.
The French channel held a steady 11,000 the whole time. And then the Korean channel had 14,500, and then when Seoul Dynasty started playing, they were at 57,000.
Wow.
Yeah. So these are some big numbers just on Twitch, the world that tuned in to watch this.
Yeah.
This is huge.
Right. That doesn't speak to OverwatchLeague.com. That's impressive.
Yeah, so I don't know if the numbers watch it there.
If you want to watch it at any point, the season's schedule is clearly laid out on OverwatchLeague.com. Or mm-hmm. if you have an Android or Apple smartphone or smart device, you can download it from the store if you search for Overwatch League.
You can
you can find VOD content and previous streams on twitch.tv/OverwatchLeague.
There's also Twitch app. You can actually watch live on there too if you want.
And you were just watching it on the PlayStation, so on the Twitch app on the PlayStation?
Correct, yeah. And then I just full-screened it and just sat down and had a wonderful time.
Yeah, I watched it. I actually watched it on my Samsung Smart TV. I downloaded the Twitch app and I was watching it. So it's funny because... Oh, I don't mean to yell at him. I'm so sorry. That's so rude. If you didn't know that they were talking about a video game, to a militant bystander sitting there, you would think they're watching football or rugby or soccer or baseball. Like, it's impressive. Like Activision Blizzard, knocked it out of the park with production value. So mm-hmm. I highly encourage, I know we're a Destiny podcast primarily, and today's our quote-unquote Destiny episode, but if you enjoy Overwatch or if you enjoy the concept of esports becoming as big a thing as possibly someday the NFL, in the United States that is, definitely check it out and support it, because the more support it gets, the more possibility we have, and the more probable mm-hmm. something like this would continue and expand in the future. So again, it's OverwatchLeague.com or twitch.tv/OverwatchLeague. You can also download it on Samsung and iOS smart devices by searching in the App Store Overwatch League.
So my next question is, when are you guys moving to Kerrville so that we can start our own team?
So, I don't know how to break this to you, but we're going to lose a lot, all right? Like, that's just all there is. So,
hey, I don't care. If I get paid to play Overwatch, whatever.
You have to be good to be paid. That's all there is to it. We're terrible. Is there anything else you wanted to throw in for this segment before we start wrapping up? We're running super late.
No, I think I closed it out there.
Okay. Beautiful. All right, well, I'm going to go ahead and start wrapping this up. We're 2.5 hours into the show. So this is expected to be a long one, talking about the beginning of Overwatch League and then the huge update we're getting for Destiny. So, well, thank you for tuning in for Just Some Guardians Episode 8. This was our Destiny discussion with our new segment we're going to be doing week to week, covering the continuation of the Overwatch League, because that's exciting for us and gaming in general. You can find us when we do the podcast. We record it live like we are currently. And that is twitch.tv/justsomeguardians. We're on Twitter. Twitter at JSGcast. If you want to send in questions or comments, you can shoot us an email at justsomeguardians@gmail.com. We're on Facebook, Just Some Guardians. We are a clan on PS4. You can find us through the Bungie Net. Or you can shoot me a message in-game, Elmer Fudd. Everybody. Double D. And we're on iTunes. We don't have any reviews yet. I've been checking, so send those in if you got. And Podbean is our current app of choice. Justsomeguardians.podbean.com. And there we are.
If you do a 5-star review on iTunes and you name a character or an accent, it will read the entire review. I don't care what it says. It could say la 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 la. It could say all work and no play makes Jack a dull boy. In feet, I will do it in whatever voice or accent you list.
Wow. Cheers. All right. Once again, we are Just Some Guardians. Thank you for listening. And since it deleted itself last time, we're going to outro with us singing some horrible song. What are we going to sing?
Wait, I didn't get to do my join us next week for Mutual Chaos and Utter Incompetence.
Well, you just did, so let's set.
You tried to skip me.
This is a bit.
This is a bit.
Yeah.
Dude, it's my bit. That was
it's
my
the
utter.
One I understand.
That was my utter incompetency, okay? And I think I've been saying it the last few weeks. That's why I got confused. Russ, take us out of the show.
Join us next week for Utter Incompetency and Mutual Chaos on Just Some Guardians.
You just turned them around. Like, you just ruined it. You just destroyed it. This is why you're not allowed to do it.
You know what? I can do it however I want. It's my bit.
No. That's not how this works. All right, Nick, you try it. Take us out.
With what?
The outro. Go on.
Join us next time for Utter Competency and Mutual Chaos.
You did it wrong, too. Oh, my God.
Join us next time for Utter Chaos and Mutual Incompetence. Join us next time for Mutual Utters and Chaotic Incompetence.